If you're interested in what I look like in real life, then make sure you check out my Instagram at Joe the Insomniac. My husband and I love to go driving. We prefer road trips, but on the weekends or nights, we have nothing better to do than to go around cruising and just drive around. We prefer smooth and not busy roads. On this particular night, we are bored and decide to go cruising. We went up north to a small town, about half an hour from the city where the roads are curvy and smooth. This town is close to the mountains, and if you follow this particular path to the main street all the way up north, it starts driving up a mountain. It's about 9 p.m., and there are very few cars in the road already since it's a little cute town. But we kept going north anyway from the houses and stores, and eventually to where the roads start curving uphill. We drive up for about 15 minutes more, and it's pitch black when we see some blinking lights. As we get closer, we see a truck that's on the side of the road facing us. I'm getting the chills thinking about being all the way up there in the middle of nowhere, and a stranded truck on the side of the road appears. As we slowly approach, I tell my husband it's probably best to turn back. I have a bad feeling, but at this point, we're pretty much at the truck. He pulls up next to us. We see that there's a young blonde guy, probably in his late 20s, who gets up to our window. I get such a bad vibe by this and tell my husband not to put his window down. I think he also gets a weird vibe and actually listens to me. He kind of just loudly asks what's wrong, and the guy just says something happened to his truck and he needs a hand. His phone is dead. Now, my husband asks what happened, but this guy insists on showing him and to take a look. He says it's very friendly and even calls him bro, and he's glad we pulled up. My husband says, "You know what? I won't be much help because I know nothing about cars, but I can call help for you. My friend knows a lot about cars." The guy's insisting and gets upset. I'm now looking back at the truck, and I thought I caught movement inside the truck. I tell my husband I think we should go now. He probably saw the look of fear on my face because he puts the car in reverse. But as he did, the guy is now behind our car, so my husband decides to go forward instead. We drive up for maybe 2 minutes, trying to find a place to turn around since the road is so narrow. The road turns to a dirt road, and there's a little more space on the side, so he's able to turn the car around. I am dreading going back that way now, and our phones have no signal at all. In my mind, I know this could all be someone with genuine problems, but this doesn't make sense. I cannot help the feeling in my gut. We soon reach the area where the truck had been, and there's no truck at all. We drive maybe another 5 minutes, no trace of one whatsoever, and we're sure we've passed the place that he said. We didn't drive up too far to begin with. I am both relieved and terrified that the truck's no longer there, though. If it had really broke down, how did he get help working again in such a short amount of time? Calming myself down, I'm telling my husband, hey, maybe they really did get it to work. Maybe it turned on all of a sudden and they drove off. Suspicious, yeah, but not impossible. As we keep driving through, the roads begin to straighten out. We notice far off the truck with all the lights off and park to the side again and notice movement in the truck. I say out loud, why did they turn out all the lights? I think they were thinking we're still far enough away from them, but we see two figures get on the other side of the truck and crouch down as if hiding. We get closer, and my husband floors it. As we drive past, the two men get up. One of them is the guy that we had spoken to earlier, and the other's massive. With a very surprised look in their faces, one of them turns and runs behind us, trying to catch us. I kept looking back, but it's so dark. Now all of a sudden, I see the headlights in their truck, and they start driving in our direction very fast. My husband keeps going, and eventually, we lose the headlights. I kept looking back the rest of the way, so scared that they're somehow still following us. Maybe they turned off their lights again and I can't see them. Anyway, after driving for a very long time back to the city, we're convinced no one's following us now. We do call the non-emergency line given a description, but we don't get the plates, so it's pretty much futile doing so, just given a description of the guys we saw. I realize all this could be rationalized, but it makes no sense why one guy was hiding and how they tried desperately to follow us. I hate the fact that they're still out there. I just pray we never encounter them again. I don't know if this is an Eastern Coast thing, but in my little town, there's a twice the ice station. Basically, you fill up water jugs and get ice bags for cheaper than you can in the grocery store. I went out a few nights ago to get some water, because hey, who wants to be drinking tap water? My husband was home, and because I'm kind of heavily pregnant, he insisted that he go instead, but I really wish that he would have done. I was out at 1 a.m, and it's dark for miles in the middle of nowhere. As I get out of my car, I open the back seat to get the gallon jugs and close the door. The moment I do, a dark blue truck van pulls up behind me. I presume that they're doing the same thing as me, and I don't really think too much of it. However, alarm bells start going off, and the alarm bells start screaming at me when the slide door opens up and two large men step out. It's about a 20-foot distance between me and them, so the first thing I do is pull out my phone and start making a pretend phone call saying, "Yeah, I'm almost home." As soon as they see me answer, one guy says, "Crap," and they both get in there, tires literally screeching as they bolt out of there. I throw the jugs into my car, empty, and lock all the doors a million times before I broke down calling my husband. He told me to write down the make and model of the car and colour, and we'd go to the police station first thing tomorrow. Now, I don't know if they targeted me because I was a woman alone in the middle of nowhere, but deep down, I know they targeted me because I was pregnant, and I don't want to think what would have happened if they got me. When I was 16, some friends and I went to an outdoor center concert thing. We parked at the mall and took a shuttle to the venue. For perspective, the mall is a 20-minute drive from our home, and the venue's another 20 minutes away in a different direction. During the concert, I end up losing my friends in the crowd. I don't care though, as I wanted to get to the front, and I could just call them after the concert ends. Well, of course I lost my phone somewhere in the crowd of people, and don't even notice until the last show wraps up. I search the ground as the people dissipate with no luck. Reluctantly, I just hop on the bus heading back to the mall, hoping to meet them at the car. The car is gone, and I start to freak out a little. But it's 10 p.m. when I head to the bus station to see when the next bus is coming. Just my luck. It's a special holiday, so no buses until 10 a.m. I borrow a stranger's phone and call the two numbers I know, my mum and brother. My mum doesn't answer, but my brother does. He basically gives me the suck it up talk and hangs up. So I'm alone, scared, and a little drunk in a city I don't know. I try walking but quickly give up when I realize I'm basically walking down a random highway towards God knows where. Back at the station, I'm just staring at the map when a stranger creeps up behind me. He He asks me where I'm heading, and I say the truth. He is conveniently going to the same city, asking if I take a split to a cab. Realizing this is my only option, as I said I don't have my own money, we get in the car. Turns out he has less than I do. We barely have enough to get to the heart of the city, which is a 10-minute drive from my home, but at least I know my way from there. During the drive, this guy gets progressively more creepy. He's aware that I'm 16 and he's 25. He scoots closer every minute, touching me, insisting I come back with him, even writing his number on my leg. As we get there, I realize the situation I'm in. We're about to get out at a quiet area at 2 a.m. and the cabbie's gonna drive off, leaving no one to hear me scream. The second he gets out, I turn to the driver begging him to take me further so I can at least put some distance between us. The cab driver said he hadn't heard a word the whole way but definitely heard something odd. He asks me for my address and takes me all the way home, and the creeper stares in frustration as he drives off. When I got home, I offered to wake up my mum to pay him but he declines, saying he's just glad I'm safe. I broke him through the kitchen window to get to bed and cried myself to sleep. I'm just glad the cab driver was so kind to me. I really enjoy going camping. I'm truly an outdoorsy kind of person. It's very rare that I ever have a bad experience while camping, but I did have one that stood out to me, and is one that I can't explain. So let me start off by saying this was a good few years ago, and everything seemed normal on the day. In fact, I was having a really good day, so I arrived for my 4-day planned hike and camp in the evening. I had a really easy to set up tent, so it didn't really matter what time I got there. No, I wanted to sleep on the first day, because I was tired from driving. So I park my car up, and I realize I'm the only person in the parking area. I get out and hear some voices, but they immediately stop when I get outside. I look and realize that I've accidentally left the radio on, so I just turn it off, get my camping gear out and head out. Now everything feels normal. The sun's setting, so I can still see where I'm going, and honestly, the forest and area that I'm in looks truly beautiful. I'm not gonna lie, it's probably the nicest sunset I've ever seen. There was sort of a mist above the trees. I took a couple photos on my phone and I was really glad I did. I actually still use one as a screensaver, but that's not the point. I find this beautiful spot that I've been to before. It's close to a lake. I set up my camp and equipment, and what's better to do than some night fishing? So I head off towards that. I have an inflatable raft that I can use for my fishing. I have a small Bluetooth speaker with me and set that down and set off. I'm having a brilliant time. Unfortunately, I haven't caught anything. But I do have this strange feeling washing over me. It's almost like a paranoia that I can't quite describe. Now, the forests and wilderness can be a beautiful area during the day, but at night, even for an avid camper like me, it can be pretty scary. I stay still for a second, and I'm sure I can hear the same kind of voices from before. That's odd. I turn off my speaker so I can concentrate more. I know it's definitely not from what I was listening to previously, but I put my mind on fishing. I want to catch some dinner. Now as I'm fishing, I hear this strange thumping sound like someone slamming something on a tree. It's odd, it's almost like someone's taking a metal hammer to an old oak tree and is smashing it. It's in a very rhythmic manner though. Stop him for a few seconds and start in again. Now, needless to say, this confuses the hell out of me. and I begin to hear more voices. I can't tell exactly what they're saying, but I decide that, you know what? I think it's better to be out in my camping site at least. That's where I have my weapons if I really need it, the site buried now under some leaves. The thought flashed across my mind that, oh god, imagine if they found my site and my weapons, then I'd really be screwed, and I laughed to myself. So I start paddling back. As I do, I realize that the sound has now stopped, but also that it's coming from the opposite side of the lake. I have a horrible feeling about this. I don't know of any other campers in the area, but hey, it's not the first time I've encountered anyone out there, and I make it back to the shore. As I do so, I get my stuff together, leave my raft deflated on the side, knowing I can come back for it in the morning, and I head out. As I do, the thumping starts again. This time it's louder and closer than it was before. Okay, that's really odd. And I've now picked up the pace. I'm thinking about calling out, but I realize it's not a good idea in case these are actually bad people. I glance behind me for a second, and I can just about make out the flash of a light before it cuts off the second I turn my head. Now, I don't need any more signs, and I literally start sprinting back to my campsite. As I do, I can't shake the feeling that I'm being watched and followed. The thudding sound slowly stops as I'm jogging, but I'm not going to wait around for it. I quickly pack up all my stuff. I decide I'm going to sleep in my car just until I figure out what's going on the next morning. I look and thankfully find my gun, exactly where I left it. I feel a lot more safe now. I start sprinting towards my car, and as I do, I can hear rustling around me. I'm now terrified. I call out, "Whoever's there, I have a gun and I'm not afraid to use it." What's wild is this doesn't even deter them. I start to think maybe it's a group of animals stalking me like coyotes or something, the last thing I need. As I'm running, I can see the figure of a person near my car. I shine my torch and I can see the reflection of animal eyes. I don't really get a lot of time to figure out exactly what animal it is, but it gives me some relief, knowing it's not a person. As I get closer, there's this disgusting smell. Just as I reach for the door, I can see that this isn't actually an animal. It's just an animal's head that's been freshly cut on the roof of my car. What the hell? I now let out a really loud scream that I don't even have to think about making. I quickly get in my car and turn on the lights. I can see the silhouette of a person in front of me now, who quickly ducks down. I instantly slam it into reverse, but I realize I'm having a really bad panic attack, and I need to wait at least 3 seconds or so before I start driving, before it gets any worse. Just as I'm doing so, I can see the flashes of more torches behind me. I instantly snap out of it, and immediately step on the accelerator and speed the hell out of there. I then instantly call the police to report what's happened. I can't believe that this actually happened to me. How could a nice relaxing getaway turn into this? How the hell did that animal head get there? Who were them people? The police agreed to meet me further up the road, and I agreed to help go back to figure out exactly what's happened. I'm literally shaking, but I feel a lot safer with the police officer there. He says he's never heard of anything like it before happening. When we get there, there's no longer a feeling of being watched. Disgustingly enough, the animal head's still on the floor, close to the exit where it rolled off my car. The officer says that someone must have done this very recently, because of the way it sat and the blood around it. He does a quick patrol and can't find anything in the area. I go to the lake and show him exactly where I saw the first torch. I'm now able to retrieve my raft too, but there's no signs of anyone out there. He says he's literally never seen anything like this before, and that whoever done this is long gone, and I agree to go back to the station with him to make a bigger report. Turns out, there's lots of reports of occultist activity in the area that neither me or the officer knew about previously. Apparently they make regular animal sacrifices, and worse, they attempt to kidnap people, and have done so before. Unfortunately for me, they never found exactly who did this, and I still have more questions than answers, and I never went back to that same area again. We live in Oregon, and we drove down to the coast of Northern California. We had a late start leaving our houses, and arrived at a little beach south of the Redwoods just after 9 p.m. It's pouring rain and dark out, so we park on a dirt road that had access to the beach, and decided against walking down on the sand to set up my camp. My friend drives an old Toyota pickup with a camper shell cover in the bed, which has a mattress in the back, so we decide just to sleep on here. The beach area where we were is very secluded, and belonging to a local Native American tribe. They didn't mind us visiting, as long as we're respectful. After talking for a while in the shelter of the truck canopy, my friend fell asleep before drifting off myself. I realized I'd forgotten the passenger lock of the truck. All of our valuables were stored in the cab, so I hoped nobody would come along to rob us in our sleep. After a few dreamless hours, I heard the sound of the driver's side door handle of my friend's truck being lifted. That door happened to be locked, but I was awake, terrified that whoever had tried to open the door would now go around to unlock the side, or try to get in bed where we are. It was still dark out at this time, but I heard footsteps starting to walk around to the back. I grabbed my flashlight and shone it through the back window at the camper shell, in hopes of alerting the intruder that there's people here. I heard footsteps get a little further away. Then I heard the sounds of snapping twigs and something heavy being thrown. Then the man let out a long yell, screaming a swear word at the top of his lungs. It didn't take more than two or three yells before I woke up my friend. "Dude, there's a crazy guy outside. He tried getting in the truck. Now he's walking around yelling," I blurt out as I shook his shoulder. We sat upright peering out of the windows, but it's still pitch black out. I check my phone and it's 5 a.m. The sound of the man walking around the woods near the truck don't let up. He's still screaming now, and it seems to be getting louder. He would occasionally yell further away, but then appear closer. We sat huddled in fear for a good hour, unsure of what to do. His shout sounded as though he was full of rage, but he never attempted to get into the truck again. Eventually, the owners of the only other car parked there came to their vehicle and drove off as the sky started to lighten. We did not hear any more yelling or log frying after that, and eventually we're both able to sleep for a bit, waking up at around 10 a.m. It's hard to believe that during that terrifying hour we heard what we did, and it was so vivid. We still had no idea what the man was doing or why he was so angry, but the guy screaming profanities still remains a mystery to me.